This is a Channel Africa podcast. You can also get Channel Africa on satellite, PAS 10, DSTV Audio Bouquet 802, and OpenView Bouquet, Channel 628.
In this hour, we'll be chatting around babies and if music has some sort of influence around them. And jamming with your baby or toddler is actually beneficial. That's really the key to unlocking a child's potential. Intelligence and happiness may lie in music, which is quite interesting. It is 17 minutes past 3 Central African time. Now, studies, by the way, have shown that exposing your baby to music can speed up the process of them learning to speak and help your baby master complex language concept faster, which is quite interesting. And we are talking to Tracy Matthews, a kinder music educator, who is on the line. How are you today, Tracy?
I'm very well, thanks, and you?
Fantastic. I understand you've been doing this thing for 15 years.
15 years. I've been doing music classes with parents and their young babies, and it truly is remarkable the effect that music has on young developing minds, and also for the family, I must say. In my years, the focus is always on the remarkable effects it has on cognitive development and language and motor skills, but I also find that the connective value for families to have some fun and to bond and get a little silly is also so beneficial in that, because parenting is a rough ride sometimes, so taking a moment to have fun with your child and then they also learn from the experience is also so wonderful. So yeah,
and the benefits of incorporating music into parenting?
Well, first of all, it can really help with the daily routines with a young child, kind of singing a familiar wake-up song, incorporating songs into the routines of bedtime, bath time, meal times can really help children make those transitions where sometimes they might struggle. It really helps with language. It helps them make sense of the sensory world they're experiencing, so recognizing different sounds, different vocal sounds, strengthening the muscles in the mouth to make those sounds and playing with it. It helps with motor skills because dancing and moving the body uses the whole brain. So it helps the brain make all these complex connections, and it's really fun to do as well. It's such a natural part of being human if you think about it.
Yeah, I see. And does it really matter if I'm playing on my piano or some opera?
You know, I think as long as the music is kid-friendly in the language and mood, then any kind of music will do. You know, if it's vibing, sometimes children like the same music we listen to. There's loads of amazing music designed for children that have got lovely recognizable patterns and songs that they can sing easily. But a lot of families join in the jam with their children with what they're listening to, and that's also a beautiful thing. So, yeah, as long as it's kid-friendly in language and mood, I think all music is good.
I was talking about how I'm quite big with TikTok, and they've got these funny moments with babies, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when I'm feeling very broody. There's a lady called Rachel. I don't know if she's singing or what's the story there.
Yeah, that's Rachel.
Yeah. Is she a singer? Does that type of music things help?
Yeah, so Miss Rachel's Songs for Littles. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. She's basically just really tapped into how babies and young children, and especially children who have any kind of speech delay,
okay,
are often quicker to respond to pitched vocalization, that is sung vocals rather than speech, and it really helps them understand things. So saying something like, hello, how are you, can really engage a little mind much better than hello, how are you.
Okay.
So sometimes when you use that very pitched vocal in how you talk, it really captures them. It's actually called motherese, although it should be called parentese. I think it's been adapted to be parentese.
Uh-huh.
That pitched vocal that parents use with little children where you allow your vocal pitch to go up and down and be very interesting,
yes,
pitch-wise, and it catches little children's attention. It's really a great way to get them to engage with you.
By the way, Tracy, I have to add this. You're quite a singer there, hey?
Yes, I'm a musician in my own right.
Oh, I could hear that voice. I'm like, ooh, Tracy!
Yeah, I'm a musician as well. I'm just passionate about bringing music to everybody, and then also to the fact that everybody can sing, and that music is a part of being human.
Mm.
You know, singing and dancing together is powerful medicine, you know, for everyone. And yeah, I I'm very passionate about music.
Lovely.
Tracy, let's talk about the incorporation of music then in play and colors and shapes. How best can parents do that? Because I would imagine that those two would go well together.
Absolutely. So it's fun to play with musical concepts that are fun to play with young children. It's just anything that's in opposite. So fast and go, loud and quiet, or fast and slow, stop and go. And then simple pitching. You can choose even three notes. I see a triangle. What shape do you see? And then they can maybe say their own thing. If they're older, you could emphasize the syllables of the words, you know, like square and clap once and triangle and clap three times, just to play with the rhythmic factor of language. Call and response is also a wonderful thing to do with young children. I do a little gesture where I point with both my flat palms to myself, my turn, and then gesture openly to the child, your turn. And you can do it either with movement or rhythm, clapping on the body, or with pitched vocals. Little kids are very fun and playful, so you can say the silliest thing, and then they copy you, and then you copy what they say, and they will always say very silly things for you.
It's incredible how
serve and return games are very fun and very engaging for little ones.
It's incredible how it doesn't just work for little ones, right? I remember a time, I don't even remember why I was going to these classes. I think they were extra maths classes. But I was definitely not, I was probably in intermediate classes at school. I was an intermediary. And head, shoulders, knees and toes, that kind of learning assisted me in, you know, in class as well. So music can be, you know, applied at any stage of one's learning?
I think so, definitely. And I've done groups with children in up to senior phase. You know, it's a well-known fact that when you put something to music, it commits to memory better. I think that's why in so many cultures, especially oral cultures throughout the years, they'll actually sing through songs that are important. So things that are need to be committed to memory, when it's musical, it happens that much easier. So I definitely think there's space for it. Unfortunately, it often gets pruned from education as it goes up. But it's definitely worthwhile. And even into adulthood, I think music is so important for all of us. And we don't all have to be professionals to use the tool to be to manage our stress as well. It really helps with emotional regulation and stress management. And in today's world, so many kids are also growing up so stressed. And so a thing like just learning to feel your feelings and be with them and manage them and be in a group and all of these wonderful things that we experience when we're making music together, it builds us in so many ways.
I see. Let's talk more about kinder music, and it provides on demand music training for kids, from 1 hour professional development workshops to 10 hours, I understand, age specific courses. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, the professional development is more for educators. You can get in touch on the website and become an educator in your area. And then the other courses, it's a weekly a class that happens. I go to schools and I have parents come to me. I have a studio that I work in. But it works out to basically a school term where you'll come once a week. And the curriculum is very beautifully designed. It follows themes that are interesting for children and it expands with the children as they grow. So, yeah, lots of different genres of music are covered and all kinds of skills.
So the program is designed for teachers and for the actual children. Do you go into classes and do any kind of therapy or programs?
Yeah, so when I go into the schools, I'll go into each class with the children and we'll do a music circle. Every circle will sort of have a mix of motor skill play and vocal development and a bit of instrument play and dance, movement, and often story and listening skills as well will happen there. I do it in schools with the children one-on-one, and then there's also options for parents to come with their child together after hours.
All right.
Or on maternity leave or whatever.
I did ask a bit earlier in terms of the genre of music, if it really matters. But how does it actually impact if I'm playing classical music or I'm playing house music, for example, towards the child?
In that respect, I think it's more about exposing the ear to as many tones as you can when they're young. The brain, as the brain develops from the limbic brain up, it prunes off connections that aren't required. So one of the reasons classical music is so punted for young children is because it's very complex in the notes that you'll hear. You're going to hear pentatonic scales, minor pentatonic scales, classic ones, big arpeggio riffs, and all kinds of different tones that then the brain gets to hear. Some of our more pop music and modern music we hear is a little bit more simplified. We don't have as much tonal variance, and that's why we like to encourage babies and young children to hear or to be exposed to different genres of music, especially those classical ones that are going to give their brain lots of juicy information to chew on. But like I say, I know a lot of families who jam to their favorite jams with their toddler, and that's the beautiful thing as well. I can't argue with it.
Yeah.
But it's important to make sure, like I said earlier, there's no language that we don't want them repeating innocently, and it's not appropriate for them. It might get them in trouble socially.
Yeah, the last thing you want to be jamming is Eminem.
You know, or just something where the child will then innocently repeat something on the playground and get shame or trouble for it.
Yeah.
They don't actually understand what, you know, they thought it was just a fun, loving thing. I've witnessed friends' children, they play like some metal and the children start screaming swear words, and it looks like really antisocial behavior, but they're just mirroring. So just to keep in mind, young children tend to mirror and copy what they see. So anything you wouldn't feel comfortable with your young child mirroring or copying or repeating in public, because they will probably do it in public too, that would maybe be something you want to maybe avoid. But otherwise, I mean, one of my favorite jams for young kids is that I like to move it, move it. They adore that song. And you can go, I like to brush my teeth. I like to brush them. And then it's fun for them. And you can just tweak your favorite song lyrics. It's something that's comfortable for you as well as a parent, you know. Some parents don't really like or don't have a big arsenal of kiddie songs to turn to. So if you just tweak your favorite ones, that's a wonderful way to do it as well.
And also, I think it would also work. I like some veggies, and then it gets them eating their veggies.
Exactly. You can often just piggyback your piggybacking is what you call it when you add your own lyrics onto an existing melody. Just piggyback what you want to do or teach. And whatever the favorite of the child, sometimes the children gravitate to something that's contemporary, and then go with that. Go with the, follow the joy.
Tracy, perhaps you can just let us know where we can find you, you know, for parents as well as educators who would like you to come and assist them.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So I work in Johannesburg, and my website is kindermusic.biz. That's KINDERMUSIK, so music with a K. The program started in Germany, and that's the last, because they were the first to include music for such young children. So mine is kindermusic.biz, and then for prospective educators, it's kindermusic.com, and then there's a link there to become an educator. And I think there's quite a need in the greater continent for more people to be doing it, so it would be fabulous if more countries and there were more teachers in more African countries. It would be great.
Tracy, just out of interest real quickly, as we wrap up, what made you get into it?
Well, like I said, I'm a musician myself,
okay.
So I'm an artist, and I've always been working my own dreams in that regard. And so when I was younger and looking for something to do, I've always enjoyed working with kids. I actually studied child psychology just because I was so fascinated with the development of the brain and how we learn. So I had that as a baseline. And I'm the youngest in my whole family, so all my older cousins had little kids when I was a teenager and young adult. So I got to sort of see them grow up, and it was really inspiring. And I got to see them go to similar classes. And I thought, wow, that's a really wonderful thing. So when I was a young adult looking for something that I could manage my own time with as an artist and still enjoy, because I need to enjoy what I do, then I just, it jumped up to me. And so all those years ago, I got my extra qualification, and I've never looked back. It's been such a rewarding journey. I've worked with so many wonderful families and seen so many children just blossom. So it's really been wonderful.
All right, great stuff. That is Tracy Matthews, who is a kinder music educator, getting some insight there around the type of music and how it really influences your baby. It's quite cool.
That podcast was courtesy of Channel Africa, the African perspective.